To single bells, to single bells, to single breaks away. Oh, what fun it is to play on a line with Matt Duchesne. Hey, to single bells, to single bells, to single breaks away. Oh, what fun it is to go to a Senators game today.
Head low, should I bite my tongue, or should I march with every stranger from Twitter to get shit done? Used to hang my head low, now I hear it loud. Every stranger from Twitter is gonna burn this down.
From some studio in a nondescript townhouse in the south end of Kanata, well disguised so people don't know our true intentions, welcome to the Season 7, Episode 8 of the Sens Collabs for Monday, December 17th, 2018. I'm Cardinal, Canuck companion here as well. We've been away for a little while due to illness, travel, work, and, well, quite frankly, it's December.
Did you bring a doctor's note?
I did not bring a doctor's note.
Well, then I don't believe you.
You're faking.
I'm really hurt. You know, I'm really hurt by that. I'm not really worried about it. Boys, it's almost Christmas. It's been almost a month. We still have no snow. But I got some good news today.
What?
I got some good news today.
What do you mean we have no snow?
We got basically no. We got a dusting of snow out there. That's nothing.
We're screwed.
Why? What?
You just jinxed it.
I think you
It'll snow like 2 feet
I think he wants
now.
To jinx it.
Well, you see, I would really be happy if I jinxed it.
Now your flight in the morning's going to get all canceled.
Yeah.
No, the good news
8 hour delay. It's like, I'm here for the day.
The ice is 6 inches thick and the fishing hut's out. For real. In December. 2 years ago at Christmas time, my brother was jet skiing because it was 24 degrees. And now the ice is thick enough.
Well, that was well over 2 years ago now.
It would be 3 years ago then.
No, I don't
2016, 2015? It wasn't.
It was a long time. It was probably 5 years now, if not longer.
No, it would have been his 50th birthday, so 2015.
You're old.
It's my older brother. Nope, the ice hut is out. Life is not bad. There's not enough snow to snow machine, but the ice hut is out. Which is good. But we're back. I was at least part of the reason that we haven't been here in the last little while because I was actually really sick. I don't get sick very often, but when I do, I go full out. I don't do this. I don't do this half-assed. Yeah. I've gained back a few of the pounds that I've lost, but I'm still down by about 5.
It's okay. I found them.
Well, as you know, I don't really have them to spare, so... but I am
poor you.
I'm back and my voice is actually working, which is nice because this time last week it wasn't at all. I sounded like I was gargling Drano that had jacks in it, you know, like the game of jacks, the little pointy things on them. Yeah, I was kind of gargling those. It was really bad. But anyway, good to be back.
Yeah.
Did fun at the game tonight?
We did.
It was
a lot of fun.
Yeah. We'll get to that. We got a lot of games to cover, which we'll cover at rocket speed because, well,
yeah,
just like last year when we were trying to cover a whole lot of games, we don't remember quite a bit about a bunch of them. So
yeah, definitely not.
We'll get to that really quickly.
Yeah. So just I would just say with that a couple of notes for any new listeners that we have.
Yeah.
So we are a fan reaction podcast. We are not insiders in any way. So that's pretty much what we do. So we talk about hockey for
a few minutes.
5-8 minutes.
And then when we're not talking about everything else.
So we did do part one of the Ask Me Anything with Amy, and that was quite successful.
I
think it was a lot of positive feedback, and we're very excited to do the second one on Thursday.
Yeah, we have another one coming up this Thursday, so it'll drop a few days after this does, I presume.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. More questions to come. They're all ready to go.
How to reach us?
Yeah. Quick housekeeping before we start. Podcast@senscollups.com is our email address. The forums at senscollups.com include the game threads among other things. Bacon thread, wine thread, beer thread, you know, the usual things. The waiver wire, sponsored by our friends at Versature, is 1-844-SCUSENS. That'd be 1-844-728-7367. And before we start, I finally remembered to write this down for a change. Thank you to Eddie and Liam, both of you, for your donations to the show. They are very much appreciated.
Very generous.
Yes. It means we will have we'll have beer and we'll have hosting for a little while, which is nice. Because both of those things are kind of key. So, both of you, thank you very much.
Oh, debatable.
Easy now. All right. Before we start, actually, tonight's episode is brought to you by Mill Street Hopped and Confused, Mill Street Organic Lager, and Bud Light Lemonade Rattler. I'm going to try one of those next. Mm-hmm,
pretty good. A client of mine gave me these for birthday, Christmas.
That's a pretty good client.
Jesus' birthday.
It's all right. I had a client give me a bottle of single malt scotch once. I thought it was great. Let's go.
And the letter B.
Go.
Game on!
Nice sustain.
My poor ears.
My poor neighbors.
I was going to say, your poor neighbors.
It's like, I'm sure there's a kid that sleeps and he just
goes. He's not sleeping anymore. He's crying now.
Mommy, I heard that noise again.
And then there's
haven't heard it in weeks, and all of a sudden.
And then there's all this laughter, like they're laughing at that I'm scared. Anywho, over to you.
Sens at Rangers, 4-2 loss. I'm going to try to go as quick as possible. Sens goals, 2 by Stone. Rangers goals, Stahl, Anderson, Kreider, Zibanejad. Don't remember this game. Shots. 33-31, Rangers, penalty kill, perfect 4-for-4. Next game, Sens at Flyers, 4-3 win. McKenna's in.
Yes,
his first win, he was really good in this game. Sens goals, Shabbat, 2 by Tkachuk and Duchesne.
Not Tkachuk guy. It was a bad pick, man. He's never going to score. He hardly could score in the NCAA. He's not going to score in the NHL. He was a garbage pick.
All right there, JR.
Nobody likes a quarter. See?
Go to your dark cloud over there.
The iCloud, yes, that one.
I thought Tkachuk was on a scoring drought. But yet in this recap, he just scored 2. How long has it been?
It's been about a month.
Yikes. All right. Flyers goals, Konecki, Voracek, and Gudas. I don't know how Gudas scores goals. Shots, 37-24 Flyers. No penalties in this game.
Perfect game.
There you go.
Perfect game.
First non-Anderson win for the Senators since like March or something like that.
Wow. That says something. Ouch. Next.
Rangers at Sens. 3-0 win. Anderson, first shutout in forever.
And I believe number 41 of his career.
41. Yep, that's right.
That's right.
I think that was right after someone on the radio. It might have been Steve Lloyd or AJ said that...
In their game prediction?
Yeah, they said that Anderson, that the Sens would never get a shutout this year. That was just given their play.
I think that was CJ. I think it was CJ.
Yeah, I remember they were talking about it all day.
Stevenson?
Yeah, I think it was Stevenson who said it.
Okay. I think you're right.
Because it was...
And it was the next game.
Yeah, I think it was off Ian. I think Ian was doing one of his multiple choice madness questions. It was like, what will happen first? It's like an Anderson shutout, signing Stone, or something else like that.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
And the funny thing is when he said it, it's like, he's probably right. Yeah. Next game.
Boom. Shut up. Boom. It's like, oh, great.
All right, so moving on from that one.
So Sens goals, Batherson, Pay-Arvey, and Duchesne. Shots, 34-27 Sens. No penalties in this game. 2 in a row.
Inconceivable. So the PK was perfect in both of these games.
Mm. Yeah, yes.
And the power play.
And the power play was amazing.
Next game, Return of the King. Sharks at Sens with a 6-2 win for Ottawa. Mm. Apparently, whatever beef they had with the room was bunk, because was it Carlson, Snow, and Anderson? And they just laughed about it. Butt taps with Dzingel. Other stuff like that. The players really paying attention to the video, so... Maybe some stories were fabricated in order to be able to acknowledge to trade someone. Oh no, that's what Mike Hoffman said. Never mind. Sharks have no idea how to use Erik Karlsson. I don't think you watched this game. I think you were at work or something.
I don't think I did. But last I checked, he still had 0 points 5-on-5. Sorry, 0 goals 5-on-5. He has that points, but 0 goals.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, the points don't matter.
You need to watch what he's doing. He's got like a 60% Corsi, which is astronomical. He only scored like 10 goals last year anyways, but he's still 62 points.
I found that this was the one game I went to on a weekend. Sens won.
Yeah.
And I left the game kind of, I don't know if I was happy or not.
It was
emotional.
It was a very emotional game for fans.
I think not everyone, but certainly a lot of people.
I was at the cottage this weekend.
I think so.
I heard about it, but I was, I can't remember what I was doing that night. I think that was the...
But again, for whatever dumping... Listen, it's the same story as to when he was here.
Yep.
Whatever dumping he's getting in regards to his defensive play, it's not always him. And a lot of times it wasn't him. Like, Mark Stone scored on a 3-on-1. How the hell is Erik Karlsson the only guy back?
Because he...
And even at that, I saw the... Go ahead.
Because he could see what was happening because he was familiar with it.
Well, yeah, but even at that, it's his hockey sense is well over anyone else, so he knows when to come back. And this was even, I think it was the same game. It might have been because I went to Montreal the next game to watch him play against the Habs. And they did a lot better that game. I think that might have even been on the 3-on-1 or just some other rush, odd man rush. The Karlsson's back, and his partner just stopped skating. They quit on the play. And I was like, what is going on with the Sharks? It's a team thing more than anything. And even in Montreal, he went up for the pinch because he obviously it's Karlsson, so he goes out for the offensive play. And I think he takes the shot or it's blocked or something like that. And his pinch, you see him take one step that's wrong and Karlsson immediately jets back. First guy all the way back to catch a guy that's on the breakaway and breaks up the play. Like, it's...
I don't think they're using him, Ryan.
Absolutely.
I also don't think he's signing there.
I don't think he's signing there either.
He might not. I don't think so.
I honestly think if there's a... Well, I'm just hoping, but if there's a change here, he'll come back. Or Tampa.
Well, Tampa may Tampa may have trouble affording him.
No, they don't.
Toronto.
Yeah, right. Tampa
has room.
I think San Jose's biggest problem is Brent Burns, the established star. Now, I say star, where Erik Karlsson is a superstar, but he's the established star. He's the face, I don't want to say face of the franchise, but he's the face that everybody knows. So he's the one that gets all the cookies, and they're misusing him. That's why when he was traded there, I was like, that's a strange place to go, but all right.
Well, you would think that they'd be able to put them together and stuff, but because they're both right-hand shots, Burns has no idea. They're ignoring him on the power, ignoring Karlsson on the power play. It's like, let him walk it. Let him move around.
No,
because it's bad. That coach has to go. If like they've mortgaged everything for this year.
I don't see it happening.
DeBoer?
No, I don't see them being successful.
Oh.
Not if they don't change, and they should. And to me, it doesn't seem like they will change because they haven't.
No, I honestly forget. Do you know what the deal is on that trade? Is it if I heard this? If San Jose does not make the playoffs, we get
this year's pick.
We get this year's first round pick.
Yeah, they'll make the playoffs.
So that was
the divisions.
But if they make this year's first, if they make this year's Stanley Cup final. Then another
first and a second.
No. So if they miss the playoffs, we get the first round pick this year. Okay. If they make the playoffs, we get the first. This year's first round pick goes to Buffalo on the Evander Kane deal.
Okay.
We get next year's first round pick regardless, which again, especially if Eric's not staying there. Huge positive for us because Jumbo is probably going to be done soon, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the money comes. Oh, no, we're talking about Tampa. I'll look at it in a bit. If they make the playoffs, so we have the 2020 first round pick, and then they make it to the finals, the second round pick that we get this year is promoted to a first round pick, I think. There's way too many conditions.
And there's also an additional condition if Erik Karlsson ends up on an Eastern Conference roster. There's an additional pick that comes our way.
Again, that's right. Trade him to Toronto.
Well, for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Toronto won't take him.
Toronto doesn't need him. They have Morgan Riley. They have their own superstar defenseman.
Yeah, they need someone else.
They really need a couple.
They really need someone else.
They need a couple. Anywho, sorry. Bogged down.
Sharks have five UFAs. Yeah, well, it's Joel Pavelski, so that's going to get done. I'm surprised he's not signed. This can't be right.
How many years left does Logan...
Oh, Joel Pavelski's 34, that's why.
How many years left?
Joel Pavelski's 34.
Yeah?
Yeah, on who?
Logan Couture.
He just upped.
Oh. Dope. That'd be nice.
They're not going to trade them. Yeah. Why am I looking at them? We want Tampa.
I was just going with the flow on this one. I saw no reason not to.
Yeah.
Let's continue. So it doesn't matter.
The cap's also going up to like 83.
Oh, I know.
Wow. Let's continue on with the game summary.
Yeah, let's get through the game.
Anton Stroman, 4.5.
Coming off the books this year, you mean?
Yep. Braden Coburn, 3.7. And then you got Ryan McDonough that you can just dump somewhere.
Arizona.
Dead
money zone.
Okay, go back to the games. Where was I? Sharks at Sens. So, Sens goals. Dzingel, Harper's first ever.
That's right.
Bodker, who only had like three at this point. Stone, Pay-Arvey, and Ryan. Sharks goals, Thornton and Goodrow. I don't know these guys. Shots, 38-27 for the Sharks. Penalty kill was 2-3. Sens at Habs, 5-2 loss. Brutal effort. Sens goals, DeMello and Stone. Habs goals, 2 by Domi, Lehtinen, and Gallagher. Domi was being a little shit.
Big surprise there. Wow.
I was expecting Tkachuk to be
waivers.
That was Domi.
Yeah. I was expecting Tkachuk to do something about that. Nothing. Shots, 41-20 for the Habs. Penalty kill was 2-2, though.
Next.
Habs at Sens.
What score?
5-2 loss.
5-2.
Brutal effort. Sens goals, Stone and White. Habs goals, Petrie, Byron, Shaw, Gallagher, and Byron again, apparently.
Good Ottawa boy there.
Shots, 43-21.
Yeah, that was not a good game, from what I recall.
Penalty kill was perfect, though.
Well, there's got something again, going for them.
These were 8-point games.
Which is nice.
These were big 8-point games. This is an
8-point game?
Yeah. Well, you have a 4-point game, you got two of them. 8-point games.
Oh, well, 8 points in total.
You really are the math guy.
Yeah. So this could have, honestly, if there would be a different result in two of the three games, Sens would be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Olay.
Next game, Penguins at Sens.
Penguins?
Just got killed by the Habs twice.
Flightless birds.
2-1 overtime win.
This one was inconceivable.
I was at a Christmas party in this one.
Was this the Sidney Crosby-less Penguins or the Crosby back in Penguins?
He was back.
He was back in for this one.
Now, where was I? Was I watching this game or listening
to
this
game? He's not overly effective against Ottawa. I think we've talked about this last
one. I think I was listening to this.
Spetsum tired him out that one time.
Right? tired him out, but he still managed to score.
I'm so tired now. I better just end it. Goal.
Pass it away. Oh, yay!
Sens goals, Shabbat and Dzingel in overtime.
That was the one that was when he was both feet below the goal line, was it not?
Yeah.
The inconceivable. How did that possibly go in? But
yeah, and then I like how Dzingel pointed to the crowd, and then there's a shot of Eugene Melnyk pointing down to the ice. It's like someone needs to make a cut.
They're
of
two different places, but it was done, right?
Each other. Yeah.
So that was.
Was it?
Oh yeah,
that was great.
That was the Dzingel.
Yeah, it was like, pay me. Penguins goal was by Dia. I don't know who that is. Done. Shots 36-29 Penguins. Penalty kill 2-2.
2-2.
Next game, Bruins at Sens. 2-1 overtime loss. McKenna was in. Played well over his pay grade in this one. And one question that Ian Mendez came out with is he a legitimate NHL backup?
He's looking like at the last couple of games.
He's 35 years old. No, he's not.
Well, he's backup.
He's a
backup.
No, he's not.
He's a serviceable one for this season if necessary. He's right. Not a long-term solution.
Right. I agree.
But he is for this season.
He's also not necessarily a short-term solution.
No, but
he's not even supposed to be here.
He's not supposed to be here, but will he do? Yes, he will.
He's a Kevin Smith.
He'll do.
Because there are no expectations.
And there are no other options.
There's no other options.
You don't have to pay somebody else.
That'll do.
I don't want Hogberg and I don't want Gustafson up here.
Well, Hogberg just got back.
Yeah, he's had a couple of wins.
Hogberg's like 24 or 25, yeah. Though. But
he's had a 24, 23, 24, somewhere in there. He's had a couple of wins since he's come back in Belleville, which is great. Let him keep playing there. Let him keep playing there.
This year doesn't matter anyway.
No.
Condon's
in Ottawa because he's not playing yet. Something's wrong. Anyway.
Hip.
Yeah. Ouch.
I can
sympathize.
Bruins goals. Or Sens goals, Stone, of course.
Of course.
Always.
Bruins goal, Marchand and Krug. Sens were awful, but I don't care who was hurt in this game. No excuses. And yet, I got in trouble for saying that McKinnon deserved a better fate and the Senators did not. Why are you being so negative?
Yeah, because people...
I can't friggin' win, man.
Do you ever think that people just bait you?
No. No, this is just random people.
I know. Do you ever think they just bait you?
No.
No?
Unless you have a bunch of friggin' clone accounts.
Can't say.
Burner accounts.
That's what I use my old phone for now.
Next. Yeah, for the listener, which phone did you just get?
iPhone? The XR.
XR? Upgrade from?
An iPhone 4 running iOS 6. 8 years old. And the only reason I upgraded it was because the battery in the phone was so worn out that I had to keep the phone warm to get it to work. Other than that, I mean, the phone still works.
You've been dealing with that for 6 years.
No, I've been dealing with that only for this winter, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, last year was
okay. It's a 5 battery was garbage.
No, I've never had a battery problem with it until this winter.
Mm.
Even the summertime, it was fine. It's just, it's done.
Shots 44-28 Bruins, penalty kill 2-for-3. Sens at Preds, 3-1 loss. This was a better game, but they were dominated.
Mm.
Not overly a surprise in reality. Sens goals by Smith, Preds goals. I think Smith scored like 15 seconds in the game or something crazy.
Crazy.
Like
first shot of the game.
Yeah. Keep
Preds goals,
him.
Watson, Ellis, and Smith. Shots 36-26, I assume, for the Predators. Penalty kills 2-for-2. Next game, Sens at Red Wings, 4-2 win. This was a fun game for the parts that I watched. I was also hammered at the 67s game. But, but for the second half, I saw, I think, or at least the third period. Sens goals, Tierney, Chabot, Stone, and Bogner. Mark Stone's goal on this one. I don't know if you guys watched it.
I forget now.
So Jimmy Howard makes a butterfly save.
Oh, yes.
And Everybody assumes that the puck is covered. Of course, Mark Stone comes in. Does a takeaway, shoots it in the empty net. And it's like looking at him like, well, they must have blown that down. It was frozen.
It wasn't frozen.
And then they play the and then I see a quick replay of it. It's like, well, they're going to call that bad goalie interference. And then you look at the replay again. It's like, he never made contact with the goalie. How did he know how to get there? And of course, with his hands, he was able to get it without making any contact with the goaltender and get it in the net.
Takeaway.
Over around a defenseman.
Yeah. Around a defenseman, I'm going to take it away from the goalie.
What the hell? That was an incredible goal.
He's entertaining, that boy.
And he was so amped. I love Mark Stone.
His goal celebrations are full on.
Oh, yeah.
However, Shabbat's game winner tonight was pretty good, too.
Yeah, it was great. Okay. We'll get to that in two more games. We're actually flying pretty good here.
Mea culpa.
And Bogert, this was one of the hardest working empty net goals I've ever seen. It was like 4 passes. It was nonsense. Red Wings goals by Glenn Denning and Larkin. Shots 32-28 Sens. All right.
Yay.
Penalty kill 2-for-2.
We outshot somebody.
Next game, Sens of Montreal, 5-2 loss. Brutal effort, McKenna in. I don't know. I didn't like about starting McKenna.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that one either.
Could have given him Detroit. I don't think it would have changed anything in this game anyway.
No, I just thought it was very strange to be starting him in Montreal. Very strange.
Yeah, it's just extra pressure, right? And Anderson loves the pressure. Sens goals, White and Bodker. So Bodker's got 5. He's got like 3 in these games. So 3 in like 6 weeks or something like that. Who knows? Habs goals, Pekka, Kotkaniemi, Weber, Byron, and Drouin. Shots 47-18.
It was a bad game.
We play the Habs 3 times in 11 days?
9 days.
9 days? And they outscored us 15-6.
Ouch. I didn't even put that together. But the penalty kill was perfect, 4 for 4. Their Montreal's power play is 30th, or was 30th at least. Preds at Sens, 4-3 overtime win. This is tonight.
Yeah, it was 4-3, wasn't it? Yeah.
We're up 3-0. Blew it.
Right, so 3-0.
Worst leading hockey. Worst leading hockey. 3-0.
What's his name? Pekarini got pulled. UC Saros came in.
It was 3-1 by that point, was it not?
No, it was 3-0.
Yeah, 3-0.
3-0 after the first, and they switched at the intermission. 3 goals on 11 shots. Country Night was very well done. They've done Country Night in the past.
Yep. Had the concert.
Yeah, that band was pretty good.
Yep. It's like what I said to you, you know, with the concert was going on, I kind of said, you know, this isn't the kind of band I normally go and listen to, but I like just the variety.
They were entertaining.
And, you know, yeah.
That's like the bottom variety. Line. It's kind of like DJ
Prosper.
They're entertaining. Not something I would choose to go and see, exactly right. Like it's not my kettle of fish.
But you're out of the demographics anyway.
Yeah, but it was entertaining.
Yep.
And that's really all I'm looking for is entertain me.
And they created a little
These
buzz.
Games have not been entertaining.
Well, This one was. Well, it was also frustrating at moments. All 3 goals.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining.
And hats off, they actually created a little buzz. I heard numerous radio stations and people talking about Country Night leading up to it. I thought, yeah, good for you guys. You create a little buzz for it.
Yep.
And it was a decent crowd. Not huge.
Actually, I was impressed.
It was a pretty decent sized crowd.
I can't, as you were saying, I don't know how to guess the crowds, but I'd say at least 15,000 up.
Yeah, I'd say somewhere around there. You can look it up.
Yeah.
But the game, it was, excuse me, not only was, well, there were, I mean, there were a lot of things that happened in this game. There were 2 goals that were waved off, were there not? Knocked in by high stick.
Both by Brady Tkachuk.
And he scored a goal. So, I mean, he had a hat trick taken away from him by pesky things called rules.
Rules, yeah.
Brady Tkachuk.
What a kept
annoying.
Tell you.
Annoying.
He scores a goal with a high stick tipping and then celebrates with a stick in the air.
Yeah.
God, that was great. It's the same face as whatever the gif of him, like, cheering for a goal, like, or air pumping with one hand and the stick. It's looking so silly.
But it was entertaining.
Right in front of the goaltender, too.
Yeah.
Yay.
And you have no teammates.
No one's around.
Yeah, no teammates around.
No one's around. He's just staring at the goalie. Doing.
Yeah.
He's going to be the best.
That's an invitation for someone to come over and give you a good two-shin whack.
Right? Frick, I was surprised it didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's like a Blades of Steel celebration. You know, just
Blades of Steel. Yeah, exactly. It was good. And the other weird part of the other main weird part of this game tonight was the Bobby Ryan Kyle Turris altercation.
I don't know how I felt about that fight at all. I was just like, why are they fighting? Ouch. 14,492.
Apparently,
is essentially about 3,000 more than I expected.
Yeah. Apparently, Kyle Turris was whacking at Bobby Ryan's hands and he didn't like it. So,
I'm surprised Bobby Ryan could feel it.
Wow. His gloves are
soft, right? He likes the soft gloves.
But they're also quite sizable.
Eugene Melnick's just going to sue him for all this.
Quite sizable. So that was unusual, but it certainly got the crowd energized.
Yep.
Until they realized who he was fighting.
It's like, they're like,
right in front of the Condors.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah, that didn't go so well. But
I just want to read an email from Adam N.
Okay.
So thoughts on the fight between Turris and Ryan? Bobby looked heated. Kyle looked confused. Yeah, he did. Looking for your thoughts on coaching. I was big on, we can go back to that then.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, Turris is just like, what are you doing?
What?
We're going.
Yeah. We're buds.
What are we doing?
We're buds, aren't we? Yeah. I tell you, take a slash in my hands. There we go.
It's like, oh, you can feel that now? I'm just used to them being frozen all the time.
It was weird, but all right.
Yeah, it's a Country Night.
And then the overtime goal celebration. If you haven't seen it, folks, find a clip.
It's like a swim. It's
absolute like a, material.
It was
just, it's over.
Well, yeah. The umpire moved for safe.
Right. That's exact. Just
done. Safe.
Or no goal.
No, it's
ironic.
Or no goal, yeah.
It was the Vince Carter, it's over.
Yeah.
It was friggin'
amazing. And I'm just, I laughed. I'm like, ooh. Like,
yes.
And that
I
was,
love getting the personality and the attitude. Get a bit of swagger. I know there's not much to cheer about this year.
And it was in the goal that was right in front of us because we were down in a 200 level suite right behind the goal tonight.
I flicked this light
switch. With the caviar and cocaine. And,
oh, yeah. Shut up. And the Veuve Clicquot.
I turned on the lights on my Christmas sweater there.
Oh, yeah.
It stood up.
It's a really hideous sweater, folks. I don't really know how to
wear mine on Friday.
That's one of those things I do not partake in. It's like ugly sweaters. No, just not really into that.
Yeah. It's a Sens ugly sweater that can light up. Goal.
So, great. Yeah, that's a fun one.
I did realize the other day that I have a sweater that's more than 30 years old that I still wear. Like, that's pretty cool.
It's getting old. Sends goals.
I've aged like a fine scotch.
Now I'm touching the screen. It's not paper this time. But it's also not.
It's not a tactile screen either.
Sends goals. Lajoie, Kachuk, Dzingel, and Hot Sam. I really like Dzingel's goal. It was a breakaway.
Yes.
Lajoie finally got one because he's been on a cold streak. I have not liked his defensive game because it's been terrifying. And he's with CC, and he's at risk of becoming CC. Nashville goals, two by Yossi and their Smith. Shots 34-23 for Predators, which we thought we were all going to be happy with an 11-7 lead after the first period, and the Sens looked great. 11-9, yes, sir.
How did the mechanical bull ride kill go?
3-for-5, I don't know.
Don't know, didn't go over. Apparently, some people were having
fun. That's right, I was actually doing these.
Did you even see it?
No,
because by the time that I finished these notes, there was 6 minutes left in the game.
No. It was still going on after, too?
Oh, I'm sure.
I presume so, because they were doing the post-game show from in there.
Okay.
But
so, yeah, good on the ideas.
Yeah, it was an entertaining game.
Yeah. So, and after the game, too, because the band, whoever the band was,
I didn't catch that,
was doing another set at Burt's Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Duchene was playing with them.
With a special guest. So, number 95.
That's it. Very exciting. It's a lot of fun. It's something different. Obviously, we're not going to be able to do it all the time. Matt Duchene wasn't playing tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone should be ready. We went down just to catch a little bit of it before coming back to record. And we waited.
Waited. I'll be honest. I don't like standing in a crowd. And it was just, the crowd was getting bigger and bigger and pushing in further and further. I'm like, yeah, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I'm not it. Because I was getting moved up closer to the stage.
It's like, I just wanted to like stay for like a song or maybe two.
I thought about it, but as we're getting moved closer to the stage, I'm going to get people complaining that they can't see around me. I'm like,
does not compute.
You're standing behind me, pushing me forward, people. Deal with it. So I don't
understand that.
I don't care, but it's just I can't be bothered dealing with
a foot taller than me. So.
Well, I can't be bothered dealing with people who've been drinking for hours and who are just obnoxious. Like, you know, nothing good is going to come of this, so I'm just going to leave.
Yeah. So negative.
No, I simply pick my battles.
But again, it's you want to. You're in the entertainment business.
Yep.
This starts. I know it was overtime and everything. This starts. Okay, goal. Get ready.
Well, they should have had the band sitting on that stage at the beginning of overtime.
Yes.
Well, I think they've got a green room thing, so that's fine. I was like, okay, goal. Let's get out there.
No, that's what I mean. At the beginning of overtime, they should have been on the stage.
Because they're an actual band, I would say no. Yeah. If they're a house band, absolutely.
No, they're not that big a name.
I have no idea who they are.
I don't believe they are, at least. They're a band. It's like, okay, you know what?
No, I think they're actually a thing, but
whatever.
I have no clue.
Moving on.
So, summary stats?
Yes, you have some summary stats. You did some math.
No, that's okay.
Total shots. This is going to be fun. Oh, how many games is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 games. My God.
It's been a while.
I'm so sorry. It should have been 4 episodes. Total shots against, And she'll do total shots for it first.
For 12 games? Oh, hold on.
It's not worth it. No, it's
I'd say 300 and...
Fuck off.
85.
Oh, no. No, no. Do you want to play? Well, 7.
275.
You're closer.
Really?
302.
Oh, okay. Shots, not as high as
shots against.
Sorry. I was thinking shots against. Yeah. No, shots against actually could be even
higher. Oh, sure, gosh.
I was thinking 387. I'm actually going to op.
487.
No, it's not that high. 428.
444. Yeah. Banjo. So that's a difference of 142.
In 12 games.
12 games.
So that's 12 shots per game.
And I think that's actually an improvement.
Yeah, that's 12 shots per game.
Penalty kill.
Has been good.
24 for 30.
Ooh.
80%. If we take out tonight's game, they'd be 22 for 25.
Last time,
which would have been 88%.
Wow. Last time somebody did 12 shots in a game, they woke up in a ditch with Brian Fiversix.
Brian Fiversix.
Could be worse.
That's what I've got.
Okay. Well, that's what we got. We don't have a whole lot of stuff to talk about, but I tried to bring a few.
So everybody got hurt.
I was going to say.
Everybody's coming back. They don't play till Friday.
It's been so long. We've had so many things sort of start and conclude.
I got yelled at by the radio for being logical.
Well, big surprise on that. Mm. Boro was back tonight after missing quite a number of weeks, after playing for a couple of weeks with a broken hand, and then eventually had to stop playing. But he revealed that today. He's like, yeah, I was playing with a broken hand for a couple of weeks. Got in the scrap, you know. Then when I did that, the fracture moved, and that's why I had to stop playing. Like, you were playing with a broken hand, and you got in a fight. Okay.
Yeah, which I think we talked about tonight, too.
It's yeah.
I find that a little bit idiotic, considering that Ben Harper has been sitting. That why are you playing someone with a broken hand?
Well, Ben Harper...
I think he was also hurt at some points, but...
Yeah. I think
you got Christian Wolanin, who wasn't hurt at the time.
I don't know.
Like, don't mess around with this stuff.
Nope.
The year doesn't matter. It's not a contract year for Borowiecki.
Let him sit.
Just let him heal. Like, what? And he's not that good. He's not a ball breaker.
Why do we start the fourth line every game?
Because the coach is on his last legs. Well, now we've upgraded to the third line.
I was going
to
say the third line, and I mean Smith scored in two games ago.
That one game in Nashville.
Yeah, tonight he started the third line too.
Yeah.
And they didn't score quite that quickly.
No, but they started with the rush.
So help me through this logic. If you're starting your third or fourth line because you trust them the most in the matchup, okay. Does this year matter? How many times have we said it tonight? Not really. So start your top line and get them used to starting.
Hey, listen, the only person that's going to lose out of all of this, who's going to lose out of starting the fourth line?
Guy Boucher.
The fans.
Correct.
I was going to say the fans, too.
Well,
it's one line.
I can't wait to cheer my favorite player name. Tom Pyatt!
Okay, he did some asinine things of not starting Carlson when he came back after his leave. And
so, anywho. So we don't...
I'm not going to get overly mad about that because, one, I don't expect anything different. And two,
true.
Sleep in the bed that you lay. Like, just enough. No more defending about... It's like... You're at home, and so you get the opposition's line up, and you go, okay, well, I need to defend against the top line. And then you go on the road, you're like, well, I better put my defenders on because they'll probably put the top line on. It's like you're giving away your one advantage when you're on the road. Start your main line. Matt Duchesne's one of the best in faceoffs in the league.
And I can't wait to have him back either.
Friday.
Hopefully, because he was skating today.
Yeah.
He was strumming anyway.
And he was strumming today.
Just yeah yourself.
I was going to say it's really late. What time? It must be close to midnight.
We signed a guy.
Falk?
Yep. It's like Senator signed Justin Falk is like, oh my God, how'd they get him?
It's not the same one. Yeah. It's the one spelled without like the when U.
Matt Cassian versus Zach Cassian.
It's the American spelling of Falk, not the Canadian one. It's the one without the U that we signed.
It still sounds like a name you shouldn't say out loud.
Sure. Which email do you want to read? Or do you want to play a voicemail?
We did get one.
We got one. When we do that, it's after midnight, folks, and some of us have been up for quite a number of hours.
Yeah, I was out of the house at 6.
Yeah, I wasn't out quite that early.
Ready?
Yep.
Hey, guys. I listen to your podcast on the regular, and I generally get through it before I start racing. Today was an exception to that rule, only because I got through your most recent podcast until, I don't know, an hour and change in, when the debate came down about what's happening with the owner and everything that revolves around him. And I get Pan and Canuck's opinion on him, and I understand your frustration. I do. However, I'm in the same boat as Cardinal. I don't get it. I don't understand how you can be embarrassed to wear a Sens jersey. You need to disassociate yourself between the owner and the players. Like, the team itself, when you're looking at the players and what they do on the ice, and then what the owner is doing. I realize he's kind of an idiot, but I will say that he has kept himself out of the public eye for the most part this season. I realize with the most recent fallout with LeBreton that obviously brings him back into the spotlight. And when I read that and I seen it, it's just like, okay, you know, big surprise. However, I can watch a game. I can see in the third period it fall apart. And once the game's over, it's like, oh, well, it was entertaining. Moving on to the next one. It's a rebuild. That kind of is what happens. And I fully expect a lot of players to be on the move. I really hope Duchesne and Stone stick around. However, for me, once I finish the podcast, once I finish watching the game, generally where it ends for me, you should try that because it just makes life so much better. It's entertainment. It really is entertainment. The idea for the owner is to make money. The idea for the players is to make money. The idea for the fans is to be entertained. Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Anyways, I just wanted to say my bit because I got to a point where it's like, okay, I'm going to make a phone call. I love your podcast. I really do. I love listening to you guys talk and yammer. And I've been trying to get to some games this year. Maybe we can catch up for a beer. That'd be awesome. Love listening to you. Keep up what you're doing. Good luck. Oh, and just for what it's worth, you guys aren't sellouts. If I was in your boat, I would be all over going to the games and sharing your experience, because I think it's exactly what this team needs. Let's not be part of the problem. Let's be part of the solution here and do what you can. Let's not bitch about the owner, because right now the owner is who the owner is, and there's not a goddamn thing our verbal is going to change with that. So let's...
Oh, cut off.
He timed out.
Yeah. Can you pass me an egg roll?
Oh, you got him good on that one.
This one, the one with the gold on it?
Yeah, the
golden egg rolls.
Hey, thanks for calling and leaving your message.
Yeah. Next time.
Do you want to comment?
One thing. Next time, tell us who you are.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure who it is.
That's all. We just didn't get a name out of that.
That's right.
So, a couple takeaways.
I have a few comments on it. But
okay, you go.
Man, about 1,000 faces.
No, I think he brings up excellent points.
Get out.
I really do. I think that this is well said. And to be quite honest, the only way you're going to survive this season is you really do need to disassociate, you know, what's going on with ownership and what's happening with the players on the ice. That's true. And if you as a fan can not pay attention to the negativity that's happening kind of off ice, and to be fair, it's been kind of quiet this season, except for the little Breton stuff.
You've got to be kidding me.
It was more the off season was terrible.
The off season was terrible, but then you had an Uber video. You had
I forgot about this. Yeah, it's been quiet for about a month there, and then LeBreton happened.
That was a month ago.
So congratulations on
enough. 30 days. We've had peace. Come on. if this was the Middle East, that'd be a big deal.
And to his point, though, he's saying
Ottawa senators, the Middle East crisis has been going on for 2,000 years.
to his point, you know, it's like, you know, just stick to the entertainment. You know, this is about the product on the ice. To those that can do that, I mean, that's absolutely the best way to survive, because when you pay attention to the other stuff, it's mind numbing. Let me put in this frame of mind. We're Ottawa Senators fans, so this is probably a coping mechanism to have this approach. If we're talking about the Montreal Canadiens and what was happening, would we be talking about what's happening with the Montreal Canadiens if the Montreal Canadian players are on an Uber video? If there's like all this stuff, be ridiculing those guys. That idiot owner, look what he's doing over there. We would be gloating in it. And we would be loving it. And that is what the rest of the league is doing to the Ottawa Senators right now, whether we like it or not. So my point is, I agree with you.
Look at how much Tom Dundon's taking in Carolina.
Yeah. To survive, it is best to ignore the stuff that's going on. But because we are an Ottawa Senators podcast, we'd be amiss. I mean, we just talk about what's happened on the ice, fine, but we'd be like missing half the news that's kind of happening. And, you know, we're reacting to kind of stuff that's happening. And I don't know, we're just kind of as it goes. I mean,
and I'll just kind of build on that too, because especially in the comment, that's like the players are there to make money, the owners are there to make money.
They are.
Sure. Okay, yes. So in my career, I've seen people that are just focused on the money. They tend to do well in the short term, and then it drifts off. Now, teams and players aren't really necessarily, or really your primary objective should be to run a successful franchise that can hopefully be sustainable to be competitive. And by doing so, you'll make money while you get there. If that's the path that you're taking, that you should be doing fine. Now, if saying it's like, why do fans care? And we've got another email that I'll read about that in a second. If people don't get emotionally attached to it, they're not going to buy, and then there's no fans. And this is a big thing that the marketing team's been telling us about. It's like, they prefer that we're angry. Over apathetic.
Yeah.
If you're apathetic, people, and we've seen people disappear. Luke and Chet, gone.
Are they gone because of this crap?
I think so.
Or they're just busy?
I don't think they're busy yet.
Okay.
A lot of people are just dropping out. And we can see that in their sales numbers.
Right.
So, I don't know. If again, and like what I said last time, it's like you need a sports fan psychologist.
We probably do.
So you're in a different space than I'm in, and that's fine and good for you, because geez, this stuff just sticks with me, which isn't great. Because normally I use hockey for my release, exit, distraction. Come on, don't be dirty. That's gross. So we got an email. So conversely, got an email. For many. Gents, was listening to the podcast on the way to the dentist. Great checkup, by the way, and was intrigued by Cardinals' lack of understanding of fandom. Ouch. Fans are, in short, fanatics, so they don't act rationally. And that is how the team wants it to be. As Pan said later, they don't want apathy. They want that fanaticism. Now, to focus on the negative. That is easy because the Sens have a black cloud over them, or a gray cloud over them on a sunny day. And I think they could think this cloud has a name, Gino or something like that. Melnick's actions or inactions at time have caused much doubt in the local fan base. From the let's move to Quebec, not signing EK, and now LeBreton, oh, in the video with your boy Boro, Melnick seems to be trying to ruin what marketing has done for 25 years. Have the local buys buy into the team with their dollars in their hearts. In sports marketing, one of the best things you can do is break down the wall between the players, the staff, and the fans. If you look at the U.S. sports, Chicago Fire's Peter Wilt, their first GM and president, did this, and the fans loved him and the team. He was a frequent poster of the BigSoccer.com forums, answering questions, posting about music or other stuff. The fans got to know Peter the man. This is what fans love. Well, most fans. I'm not sure about Cardinal. Cardinal's also reading another email, so that's okay.
No, actually, I was about to say I've actually met Neil Peart, just for the record, and I have a lot of respect for him as a drummer, too. He was about to say that he marches to his own drummer. I've actually met Neil Peart.
That would find confusing. This buying into the team is what Amy is trying to create, absolutely, by working with influencers. Great idea, by the way. But the team needs to take the marketing a step further and have the fans buy into the players. But here's a catch. Gino's mentality is such that the fan base assumes that once they buy into Hots and Bacho, their hearts will be broken in a few years when it's time to pay up and keep the star. Lather, rinse, repeat. Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. Thank you, Neil Peart, for teaching me some French and Voltaire. You guys are making me talk French now. The more things change, the more things stay the same. So as a fan, albeit distant fan, Northern Alabama, never having stepped foot in Canada, but hoping to get there soon. Bummed I won't be able to go to the national game on the 11th because of stupid work. Listening to the pain from Pan and every, and even more so from Canuck talking about how they are going through this motions this season. The podcast keeps them going, and for me, the new fan, the guy who followed the team from afar for 20 years, but only stepped up on a miracle season from 3 years ago. Geez, been that long. I'm just buying into the team. Hate to give Melnick any merchandise money, but hopefully in 2019 or 2020, I'll make my first trip to Ottawa. Trying to wrap things up, as a gang in Ottawa is being disengaged and Amy can only do so much to regain the interest, and even the players can only do so much. The key lies with ownership to make some good faith moves. Maybe moving EK65 was the right move. Bacho looks fantastic. The budget is there to make some re-signs. And maybe Dorion has a clue. But Melnick's moves leave everyone thinking. Will he pack it up and try to move? Will he be sold to a new knight in shining armor? Spell that way. Oh, no, spelling doesn't count in an audio podcast. Will come in and buy the team, build a new arena, and keep our team of talents together, and also get rid of some of the baggage as well. Love the podcast, even when you mock U.S. politics, similar to your analogies you were trying to convince Colonel with. Hey, Canuck. Oh, okay, well, it's spelling again. See you on the forums. Panic at the back. Panic at the disco.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Right. I already feel different than I did last time we recorded.
That's because nothing stupid's happened in 3 weeks.
Yeah, part of it. So, I mean, we're
totally jinxing it again.
We're jinxing it again. Part of it is just the positive and refreshing answers that we got from part one of our interview.
100% of me. That wasn't self-serving at all.
Yeah, no. I think going back to that kind of thing we're talking about, though, the off-ice stuff, you know, I think Cardinal, you asked, does the off-ice stuff affect the on-ice play? And, of course, the logical answer is no. I think I disagree, though, that I think the off-ice stuff can affect what can happen on ice, maybe not on a given day, but the off-ice stuff and the perception around the league of a city, whether that's the owner's fault or someone else's fault, does affect people like UFAs. They don't want to come here because they've heard this sort of negativity, or they've seen this kind of negativity going on, or it affects people who want to resign here. They might not want to stay here. We'll see. We'll see if Stone Duchesne, they stay here or not. But if they don't, and they don't because of negative reasons, well, that's disappointing, right? So that kind of stuff can affect the on-ice product, because now you have talent that won't stay or won't come.
But, absolutely. I agree 100%.
But that's kind of how it affects it. But
yeah,
it doesn't affect, you know, like the roster today. Are they... Well, I mean,
but it will affect it tomorrow.
It could affect it tomorrow, yeah.
Because I know of a local player who was a UFA, a big name UFA this season, or this summer of the past, who wrote back to a reporter and just said, no, I'm not coming close to that shit show.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
because is it worth all the drama and hassle? Is it overblown? I don't think so.
Ian Mendes put that article out.
Yeah, that happens in cities all the time. There are lots of players who teams want to go there who are like, no way am I going there.
Right.
Martin Saint-Louis would be a prime example.
Yeah.
He was like, go to Montreal? Are you out of your mind? Not a chance. Among others.
I think Ian Mendes put an article out, you know, a Sens fan are happy to look past 2018. He kind of listed all the kind of things that happened and kind of going back to, it was kind of like a year ago when Eugene Melnyk made the comments at the outdoor game right before it.
Right before, yeah.
And then kind of all, kind of like the calamity of things that happened, especially in the off season, and, you know, things like Brandy Lee and all that kind of stuff. And like, wow, what a year to forget, right?
Yeah. I said in the summer, it's like, we could deal with one of these things and it'd be a big deal.
And we've had too many.
We've had way too many.
I'll be happy to get rid of this year then. Yeah. I haven't really liked it anyway.
So buckle up for 2019.
And kind of going back to the voicemail too, it's like you have to disassociate the owner from the brand.
You do.
It's like, and he's been keeping himself away. It's like he hasn't been keeping himself away. They've been keeping him away.
I was going to say he'd been kept away.
Yeah.
And there's so far that that can go.
He was front and center at the concert tonight.
Front and center at the concert tonight. I don't think that was necessarily a wise idea. Hopefully
he survived.
And I made my usual, comment.
He's
much smaller than you think he is.
That explains everything.
But he is.
But dissociating him from the brand is very difficult when he's always made himself front and center of the brand.
I think he's just a hands-on guy. He can't keep his hands out.
And he's a hands-on guy with now nothing else.
I was going to say, who's bored? I think that's bored, part of the problem.
Yeah.
I think he's bored. Anyway.
So, anyways. Yeah. Well, I talked about this today, too, because I thought, and I threw it out to marketing, too, which I don't think will ever happen, but just if the temperature calms down and if he's still the owner in the summer and all that, at the next fan fest, they should have a dunk tank with a donation to Sens Foundation.
Oh, my goodness.
And that could be just, again, a tongue-in-cheek, I'm going to bite the bullet, I'm going to do it for the greater good, and people will actually take out their frustrations and then feel a lot better about it, and they'll actually be thankful.
Yeah, you know what? He would probably earn a little bit of cred, a little bit, for doing that. Yeah.
But they'd have to put really nice water in it. Because I don't know if you've ever been close to a dunk tank. The water is always really scungy.
really scungy.
But if he's the only guy in there.
Yeah. So I said, you know, get a bath bomb from Luck. Throw it in there. Some nice warm water. And come out nice and soft. Yeah,
so I think that would, especially if the temperature comes down at all, that would be a nice touch to try to rebuild your relationship with your customers.
Yeah, do that at FanFest.
And FanFest is, yeah.
Do that at the roadshow.
Yeah. Don't go downtown and do it.
Yeah. Okay. Are we going to read all these emails? Because there are still a few of them. Yeah, and it's getting late. Well, it's getting late.
I know. We're not back for one.
Which was the one you just read?
That was Eddie.
Yep. And then we had a big long one from Lee there.
We did? Yeah.
And then
we had the 5th. And Taylor, CB Inc. Right.
Let's get through these. We have to.
Why don't you read the Lee one, Cardinal?
Oh, okay. So I'm going to get stuck reading this. All right. No, I shouldn't say stuck. That's
or did we already do this? No, we didn't.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
All right.
It's all at the same time.
To try and give another viewpoint to Cardinal as to why fans are focusing on the negatives, here's my view, having been a mostly positive Sens fan since 1997. I made this as short as possible to edit if needed for the podcast. I can't get energized to watch the highlights this year. I'm still hung up on Carlson because I don't think the trades have given any good reason to trade him. Trading a superstar like him is simply unfathomable to me. Mm-hmm. If it was to rebuild as they claim it was, then how much better would the kids be now if with him here or when they are hitting their primes in 3 years and he's still in his early 30s? If it was to rebuild, then why did you choose to do it than just 3 months after going all in on an upgrade? What was already a position of strength in trading away your number one pick? Or, if you say it's a hockey trade because Carlton had an off year last year, I still don't buy it because, as Canuck has said, it should have been viewed as a one-off year given his track record and missing training camp.
Yep.
It was purely a money play being unable to pay Carlson the bonuses, especially in 2020, or out of spite for some reason, or because they didn't think that he'd resign with the organization they themselves created. So sorry, but I can't get excited for Tkachuk, Shabbat, Batherson, White, Formanton, etc. if the team is just going to haggle them over money in 7 years once they are Hall of Fame caliber players a la Alfredson and Carlson. Sign or don't sign Stone or Duchesne, I don't care. What's the point under this ownership? My only link to the team this year is your podcast and news articles about the team's latest embarrassments. This is from a guy who supported the rebuilds and retools from 09 to 13, even not paying to the cap in more recent years because they promised they would when the time was right. Even though paid salary went down in the last 2 years, the cap number did go up, and they got the veteran players needed to make a cup run. So stripping it down at the time they did made no sense to me, and I can't trust this ownership and hockey ops group anymore. And this is just my reasoning from the pure hockey point of view, which should theoretically be all that matters. Nothing to do with the outdoor game comments, Loretton lawsuit, infant strangling clothes, Uber video.
I forgot about that.
Borowiecki Melnick videos, etc. Signed, Lee, weary in Waterloo.
Well, you got through it.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we covered that.
Sorry, my voice is...
unless you want to add something.
Not perfect.
Taylor.
Somebody else.
Yep. Hey, guys, been listening to every podcast episode so far this season. Solid stuff you guys are doing. On the most recent episode, Colonel made a comment regarding not understanding how we Pacific Northwesterners live in the gray for several months a year. And for this, I feel a lifelong Pacific Northwesterner. I should be the one to explain how. It's simple. We grow a big, ugly hipster beard, drink a locally brewed craft IPA, do some yoga, take about 15 to 30 minutes out of our day to have a good cry / talk about our feelings, and then smugly relish in the fact that, unlike the rest of Canada, we don't experience a real Canadian winter. I joke about that, but good chunk of us actually do these things. Seriously, those beards can eat a bag of Rickards. Richards. What?
I don't know.
Richard. Oh, got it.
3, 2, 1. Now you got it.
All the best, Taylor. Thank you.
I got it now.
I don't understand the problem with a real Canadian winter. But that's just me.
It's fucking worse.
Because I like winter. I also like summer. And I just don't like November.
Do you want me to read Steven's email?
Yeah.
Dear Sens Call-Ups, with the announcement of Seattle as the 32nd NHL team, is it not time the NHL look at reformatting the league? Perhaps it's time to move away from the closed league format and onto an open league format. Create a promotion, regulation, or relegation system where, in order to qualify for the Stanley Cup playoffs, you have to be in the top flight of the league. This is a format followed by most other sport leagues around the world, with North America being the exception, not the rule. What do you guys think?
You know how this year doesn't matter? Do that for a third of the league.
Yeah.
Well, the idea does have merit because, I mean, the prime example for me would be the English Premier League, where they have teams that move up and down from the Champions League to the Premier League.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the Premier League, you can't. But the other thing about that is there are no playoffs. It's end of the season. You're the number one team. That's it. Game over. Okay. We can't have a Stanley Cup without playoffs.
So the big thing here is as interesting as something like that sounds. They want as many teams in the playoffs as possible because it is just money lining the owners' pockets.
And especially in the playoff hunt.
Yes.
That's why they brought in the overtime loser point to try and keep things closer together, to keep fan interest for longer into the season and keep things closer to the very end.
Yep.
It's not for
everyone in the East is still in it.
Yeah.
Probably.
For now.
Yeah, no, they are.
For now.
There's maybe like an 8-point difference between bottom and wild card.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
So, it's an interesting thought, which, given, I'm sorry I didn't read this email ahead of time, I might have thought up a better answer, but I don't, it's not perfect, but it works for this particular sport.
50% of the teams make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. They talked about expanding it.
Right.
Well,
I'm not a big fan of that.
I don't like that idea.
I'm not either, but they've talked about it because more money.
Yeah, but because they want a wild card scenario. What baseball did is friggin' brilliant.
But baseball doesn't even take a quarter of the teams into the playoffs.
No, baseball is ridiculous. Yeah, well, play 160 games and you let six teams in.
It's only eight teams in total.
Eight,
not 16.
And they have 30 teams.
30.
I can't remember.
36.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
It's impossible to make the playoffs in baseball. But then for them to do the one wild card game, because two things happen with that. First, you have these friggin' amazing games.
Yeah.
And you have to go ace versus ace.
Yeah.
Which means that the wild card team going into the first round can't play their ace. So it's a huge advantage for the higher seeded team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Excuse me.
So that's why I like the playoffs. I like the 32 teams. And I think people were breaking it down. It's like, well, if you have 72 games and you can fit all the teams doing it this way, it's like, no,
because
you're not going to go down to 72.
No,
you're losing. But you can go to 84.
I was going to say, you can't lose that many games worth of revenue.
Right.
But if you went up to 84, okay.
Because I think it's at 84, and I can't remember, because it's going to be each division has eight teams in it. Because Phoenix is moving over, which is, you got a deadline now. You got 2 years to figure it out, or you're going to Houston. So you're playing 17, so you play them like five times, so that's 35 games. You play the other division four times for 16, and then the other 16 twice, so 32 plus 35. I can't do the math. 32, 60,
67,
and then eight times five.
That's 40. That's 107.
So eight times four, 32.
32. 67. Now it's 97. That's 101.
There's something like that.
Yeah. Too much math, which we did make into a spreadsheet.
And I got it to work out, maybe six games or something. And it's, yeah, so that way it would even out. It might have been three games for the other division. But so that would work nicely. And you just cut two preseason games. So you go from 82, an 82 season game to 84. That's nothing. The season's too long. Whatever. Cut out two preseason games.
Right.
And the season used to be 84 games a year with 21 teams.
This really wasn't what the question was about, but it does bring up playoff formatting. Is I get a big kick about everybody, not everybody, but mostly Toronto media, is really talking about how the playoff seeding needs to change. You know, now that the Leafs are relevant, no, they're really going to change the playoff seeding. It's not fair that we had to go through Tampa.
You don't like having to play out of your division?
It's not fair. The Leafs are relevant now. Come on, guys.
Give us an easy way out of this. Don't make it hard. We might have to play Boston, and we know how Boston plays us.
It was 4-1. Rewind yourself to being a Senators fan in the early 2000s.
So I'm going back to Adam. So looking for your thoughts on coaching. I was big on Crawford when he and Boucher got hired, but now I don't know.
I'm done with coaching. That's my thought.
I just don't care. Boucher hasn't deserved to be fired, in my opinion. Yeah, he has. But he doesn't seem to be able to put all the pieces together at once. Keep up the good work. Marty Raymond was getting dumped on in regards to the team, to the players in the Uber.
Yep.
Even though it was recorded, or not necessarily recorded legally, but recorded unknowingly, broadcasted illegally.
Yep.
Allegedly. Potentially. The fact is, they were terrible on the penalty kill. I honestly think the Boucher took it over. And the fact that in
one suddenly it's better.
In one of the coaching interviews, excuse me, one of the reporters asked, "What have you done differently?" And he actually answered it, saying it's like the two defensemen are stationary now. They're not flying around everywhere. They're stationary. The forwards will do the movement. And it's been very, very successful. So my counterpoint to that would have been, why did it take you 3 years to come up with that?
Yeah.
And you've rotated the whole defense except for Cody Ceci.
Yeah.
So is he a good coach? No. Does it matter? No. Is he going to get fired mid-season?
No.
They bring in Coach Q. Does it matter for this year? No. They bring in Mark Crawford for the rest of the year. Does it matter? No.
Alain Vigneault.
Well, yeah. Vigneault, Coach Q. They're all like elite coaches. None of that matters right now. I expect change in at the end of the year, in the summer. Because just let them expire. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Nothing, we've got, nothing matters.
We have three things to talk about, and let's get the hell out of here.
Let's do it.
Number one, Seattle.
I am very excited. I am very excited.
I'm staggered.
2021.
I'm staggered with the numbers that are being thrown around over this.
What do you mean?
Well, they're paying $650 million entry fee.
That's a lot of money in Seattle.
But $650 million entry fee plus the estimate to refurb that arena, because refurbing a building is more expensive than building a new one. That's
got to be municipal supported, though.
That's still $600 million more.
Yeah, but is that how much is that municipally funded? It's different, right? Because it's the states.
Don't know.
And $1.2 billion in Seattle isn't a lot.
No, not when you see the people who are behind the ownership nuts. Of that team.
Yeah.
But still, yeah. That's a big number. And I think
it's Jerry Bruckheimer that's in there?
Among others. It's huge. So
one thing that I was listening to another like Sportsnet podcast, just that could be huge for the TV market, just to have access to him.
Yeah. Could be fun. So that was point number one. So that's going to be interesting. Number two,
very excited.
William Nylander actually signed an extension with 40 minutes to go before the deadline.
Yep. Did he lose a single penny?
Nope.
Nope.
Got what he wanted.
Yep. His AAV probably went down by about $1 million. But counterpoint, you get $21 million of a $42 million contract over 8 months.
Yeah. He's got a lot of signing bonus in it.
So, and it's like the day that he signed it and July 1st. So he's tradable.
Yep. And there's no.
I'm also very, very excited to see how much that improved Toronto's defense.
Hasn't. I'm sorry.
Correct.
I'm really sorry, folks. I can't stop coughing. It's just, this is leftover
cold. Almost done anyway.
And the last one, you wanted to talk about your in-game experience in Montreal when you went to see the Sharks.
Oh, yeah. Game. So apparently, and I can talk about it now because Amy didn't want to talk to me about it. She didn't want to bash a former colleague. I will. So the former director of in-game at Canadian Tire Center moved. So they apparently acquired him from Montreal. He was here for a few years, and now he's back in Montreal. Hmm. So before the game started, they did t-shirt canning.
Before the game?
Before the game.
Okay.
So after warm-up, scrape the air, and before scrape the ice, or while they're scraping the ice, t-shirt cannon, scrape the ice, first period, first intermission, Timbits hockey, that's it. Second intermission, t-shirt cannon.
So it really wasn't particularly different,
is what you're saying? And... no, they did t-shirt cannon twice.
Did you get one?
No.
Oh, that's that way.
So you were the only person in the building who didn't get one.
You, what do you do? The food options were pizza, hot dogs, popcorn, pretzels.
Golden Palace egg rolls.
So what we used to have, and just your egg staples. Yeah. No. Nothing else, no poutine or anything.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see.
They have a nice arena there.
They have a great arena, but it's what you guys decide to put into it.
Right.
Also, with that, the music that they were playing, I didn't feel fit the situation of what was going on in the game. And then I watched, because Ottawa played in Montreal the next game. And as I was hearing it on TV, it seemed like they were just running a script. So when people are saying that there's a lot of, there's definitely a lot of energy and loudness and excitement in the arena. Absolutely, there is. None of it is driven by the in-game crew.
They're just following a playlist.
It's Montreal, yeah, because they're just doing the bare minimum.
Well, now to be fair, as far as food options, they're serving exactly the same thing that they've been serving at hockey games in Montreal
probably
for 75 years. Because that in and of itself is a tradition. Like you go to, when you used to go to the Montreal Forum, mm-hmm. you had the big choice in your Forum Dog. Zero, right? No, you had your big choice in your Forum Dog. Did you get a steamy or you get a toasty? Which is simply, is the bun steamed or is the bun toasted? It was the same hot dog. But that was the big decision you had while you were there, because that's all they served. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're not serving, I thought they were serving Golden Palace egg rolls, by the way.
In Montreal? Oh,
yeah. They were shipping them down there.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe that was only last year or the year before. But, I mean, that's simply the tradition of going to a game in Montreal. That's what you eat. So having all, I'd be interested to see if they've ever tried serving something else. And it's, quite honestly,
it's Montreal, right?
Yeah, but it may have failed. Maybe. Because that's not what people want. They are a city of tradition when it comes to hockey, big time. And no, I don't want a poutine, or I don't want a salad, or I don't want a smoked sandwich.
The fans there were young, too. That was a young crowd. I was very surprised.
Yeah.
Now, they also discounted the hell out of it.
Out of the crowd?
Out of the concessions?
The game was 30% off.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's why it was a young crowd. I don't know.
Yeah, must be.
Maybe. But I'm just simply bringing the other side of the coin possibly to bear is, because having been to games in Montreal in the past, I've never been to a game at the Bell Centre, but I was at a number of games back in the days of the Montreal Forum, and it's just, you know, that's what you ate. Simple as that. So, I don't know. I don't have anything for what grinds my gears, because I'm just too damn tired. I didn't write anything down. I forgot.
Yeah, you're cold.
And my cold is rearing its ugly head again. I was sounding better earlier.
Sunday, January 5th, do you have your schedule?
Not with me. I'll have to figure that out.
Why didn't you put that in your phone? All right.
I'm still getting stuff into my phone. It's going to take a little while. I'm not hardcore at this like the two people I'm sitting with. I'm working on it. I'm getting there.
You'll get there.
Eventually. I do like my new phone.
You really do.
Yeah.
You really do. It's like you're just using a lot of features now and texts.
Yes.
I'm awake, lasers.
I'm doing a little bit here and there.
All right. It's weeks ahead.
Wrap.
So Friday.
Bunch of games coming, bunch 21st, of different players. Teams.
So in New Jersey, then a back-to-back against Washington here. So coach is going to have excuses. Then I guess it's Christmas break, so they're off from the 23rd to the 27th. They're back against the Islanders on the 28th, so the coach will say that they're coming back from a long break. And then the day after, they play here against the Washington Capitals again. So, hard back-to-back. New Year's Eve in Columbus. January 2nd, here against Vancouver. January 5th, Saturday 4th, here against Minnesota. And then again, the 6th against Carolina here. Both 1 p.m. games, so those should be good for kids.
Right on. And that's.
And then if we're not back, then it's United in bed, but California trip. But it's.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Don't know yet.
I know Canucks wait till the 4th, so. Definitely won't be back until then. But again, on Thursday, we will be doing the Ask Me Anything with Amy Burke, too.
Yeah, so there will be another drop in this feed later this week. That. Yeah, get it ready for us.
Yep.
Send it to me.
Anything else?
Send it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope.
Nope. Nope.
It's bedtime.
Gotta go to bed.
It's nighttime!
Exactly.
I was just going to say, we as a group doing this won't be back until after the holidays, so...
Man is screaming through the wall again.
I was just going to say, hope everybody has a great holiday. Whatever you happen to celebrate, celebrate it. Just do it safely. We want you back in the new year.
Except for you Johos. But they don't celebrate anything, so...
Wow.
Sure.
Random shot there. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not going to offend them by saying don't celebrate anything.
What I said, whatever you celebrate. If you don't celebrate anything, why not celebrate anything? That's fine. All right, on that bombshell. Just before we go, actually. Quick housekeeping.
Level of
quick housekeeping once again. Podcast at sendscollops.com. We're always welcoming email. And we do try to read them, even if it makes things very, very late for us. The game threads and so on are at the forums at sendscollops.com, and you can call and leave us a voicemail on the waiver wire, 1-844-SCU-SENS. You can even reach us on Twitter if you just want to not leave a comment necessarily, but just say hello or whatever. We're always around. Until we meet again, on behalf of Pan and Canuck, I'm Cardinal saying thank you very much for listening, and good night.
See ya.
But if you close your eyes, does it almost